Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So let's look at the screen up here. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position or turn them off. Amen. And here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Be Cleansed in Jesus' Name. Be cleansed in Jesus' Name. And so we're going to look at these last five scriptures, but they're so profound. Profound. Because during this time, they never saw anything like it. And so there were people that were glad. And this also made some people very angry. Wow. Why would you be angry after being delivered from leprosy? Wow. So let's go to the Word, starting with verse 40. Here we go. And it reads, Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, If you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus had compassion for this person? Put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. That's all he said, be cleansed. And look at this, verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, tomorrow, next week, take these every night and call me in the morning. No, immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cleansed. Wow. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Quick question. Why did he say, go tell nobody nothing? We're going to look at this in a minute. Verse 45. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely. I guess he didn't hear what Jesus told him to do, right? And so he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every quarter. See, one of the reasons why he said, don't tell anyone. Because there was a group of people he didn't want them to know. Those were the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious folks. Did you know that they were the only common enemy to Jesus? The religious folks. And this is what religion does today. It'll quench God's glory. Religion doesn't believe in the miracles that God still does. Religion keeps you from having a personal relationship with the Lord. Religion wants you to follow rules and regulations. The do's and don'ts. I call them the CC and R's. Covenants, conditions, and restrictions. You buy a condominium, you're going to get 400 pages of CC&Rs, covenants, conditions, and restrictions. All the things that you can do and cannot do. Well, religion is no different. You can't do that, you can't do that. Let me just say this. I've been around some folks, and they're wonderful saints of God. But they always have to get permission. I gotta call my pastor and ask him. Well, you can't make up your own decision? especially if it's something that's very simple. When you have to call someone all the time, that means someone has control over you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That's religion. Religion wants to put a strangle, they want to strangle your neck and keep you like a dog on a leash. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. So let's look at verse 40 here. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Saints of God, leprosy was a terrifying disease because of the social rejection and the devastating impact it had on its victims. In Jesus' day, the Greek word for leprosy was used for a variety of similar diseases. Some forms were this. They were contagious, disfiguring, and or deadly. Some were innocuous as ringworm. You ever had ringworm before? Okay. Don't let this gross you out. But this is a man filled with leprosy. This is in Africa. Leprosy all over the face, all over the bodies, all over the hand. This is why they were ostracized. This is why they were put out of the city. This was a contagious person that had leprosy. We want to focus on this because no one during this time has ever seen anyone be healed like that. And when Jesus spoke it, they were healed. When he laid hands, they were healed. And the people rejoiced, but the religious folks were angry. Especially when he would do it on the Sabbath day. Oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. So let's look at this. Description of leprosy. Leprosy, also known as Hansen's disease, a chronic infectious disease caused by bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae. Not lacrae, leprae. It primarily affects the skin, peripheral nerves, eyes, and the lining of those. Leprosy is curable with multi-drug therapy, and early treatment can prevent disabilities. They didn't have all that stuff back then. These people died with this disease. There was no cure for them then. What's the cause? It was caused by bacteria, not by curses of sins. Now, there were some things that you sinned back then, and you were cursed with it. But this was not. This was a bacteria, no different than a cancer or diabetes or whatever. The transmission? It is transmitted through respiratory droplets from the nose and mouth of an untreated person during close and prolonged contact. No different than COVID. Similar to COVID. Symptoms include skin lesions, discolored or reddish patches, nerve damage, loss of sensation, numbness, and muscle weakness. Clumps of sore-like lumps throughout the entire body. And we just saw a photo of it, didn't we? And so the treatment today is multi-drug therapy, effective in curing leprosy. Did you know there's still leprosy in Africa in places? But it's contained now. And they're not ostracized. They put on hazmats and they treat them, and a lot of them get delivered. And treatment is provided free of charge by the World Health Organization. Wow. And so, saints, in keeping with the law, though, you find these stories way back in Leviticus. See, when Moses had to pastor over 1 million people, one of the main topics of the law was leprosy. And how do you deal with leprosy? When COVID-19, what was the first thing people started doing? Wearing masks, right? Gloves. Sanitizing the hands. Doing all kinds of weird stuff, right? Keeping you home. I'll never forget, it was at the height of COVID-19. There was nobody on the freeways. Nobody. Everyone was shut in, huh? The whole world was shut in. Yeah. Oh, I loved it because there was no traffic. I was going down that freeway like what? So, where do we see this before the times of Christ? Let's go to Leviticus 13. Look at this. Leviticus 13, 1 through 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, to the one of his sons, the priest. Look at verse 3. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. That was a death sentence. Once the priest said, unclean, they just basically took you out of the community and ostracized you. And they put you in a place that was just lepers there. Wow. Wow. And so that this all meant that lepers were unfit to participate in any social gathering. They couldn't come to the synagogues. Matter of fact, these scribes and Pharisees who knew God's law, they wouldn't even dare to go pray. They looked at them like, I'm not going there. And so because the law said that contact with any unclean person made that person unclean too, some people even threw rocks at lepers to keep them at a safe distance. Threw boulders at them. Get out of here. Bam. My goodness. So the lepers, they lived together in colonies outside of their community. Most would remain there until they died. They died in agony. With all the pus coming out. Oh, everything. They just died. Just imagine having all those canker sores all over your body like we saw the man. The pain he was going through? Wow. Some of them would just find a cliff and just jump off to eliminate the agony. And sometimes, however, leprosy would just take their life and just, they were done. And back then, there was no hope. Christ was not in the picture then. All they had was religious scribes and Pharisees that only knew the law. There was no grace. There was no mercy. Look at this in Leviticus 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. Notice, this was huge. This was big. And then in Jesus' day, when Jesus was healing and delivering, the people were rejoicing. They'd never seen anything like it. But this trailed them for thousands of years from Moses to Christ. So look at this. This was a serious, hideous disease that would not go away. It plagued mankind. He shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take him who is to be cleansed, and two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and dipped them in the living bird and the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. They had to go through all that. Look at this, verse 7. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave all off his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp, and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. Now, if they had to do all that, how do you think the religious folks looked at it when Jesus would say, be healed? Because Jesus, he bypassed all this ceremonial stuff. He goes, I don't need to go through all that. I just speak the word. I'll just lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Look at verse 9 on this. But on the 7th day he shall shave off the hair of his head and his beard and his eyebrows. Wow. And all that sounds like a chemo person that had chemotherapy, huh? The head, the hair falling off. This is like a foreshadow of those who are taking chemotherapy. All of his hair should be shaved off. He shall wash his clothes, wash his body in water, and it shall be cleaned. Wow. All that. Because of a leper. Wow. And so that this man with leprosy, this one came to Jesus. It reveals the man's great courage to come. Why? Because he heard about a man named Jesus. Listen, when you hear of a man that's raising the dead, that's giving sight to the blind, that's causing the mute to speak, it's causing the lame to walk, I'd be running after him too. How many would you run after Jesus? Woo! Thank you, God. Amen. This guy had courage. He knelt. It reveals his desperation and humility. Fell on his face. His words to Jesus revealed this man's faith. My goodness. And all Jesus did was speak the word. Speak the word. Let's move on to verse 41 of Mark chapter 1. And Jesus, moved with compassion, he put out his hand, touched him, and said to him, I'm willing. I'm willing to heal you. So be cleansed. It was simple as that. You see, saints, Jesus' love and power, it goes hand in hand. His power is because his whole embodiment is built on love. He's the epitome of love. For God so loved the world. When he created you, he created us in love. He didn't create us in spite or anger. When you were formed in your mother's womb, you were meticulously and wonderfully made by God. We may look in the mirror and laugh, but he don't laugh at us. He loves us. He knew what they were going through. He had compassion. Mark revealed Jesus' heart of compassion when he wrote this down. This is why he had to write this down. So that we today can see the compassion of Christ. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care what disease you have. He is the great I am. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus is the healer. Amen. The fact that Jesus, he touched, precedes his pronouncement of healing, indicates that Jesus disregarded the Jewish law not to touch a leper. Look at this. He wasn't supposed to touch any person that was sick, especially lepers. Because Jesus knew the law. Did you know that? Jesus is the Word. Jesus created the law for Moses. Yes, he did. Look at this in Leviticus 5:2. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of unclean livestock, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and he is unaware of it, he shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. This is what they hated, because Jesus would touch them. And so they looked at Jesus. Oh, you just got cooties now. Remember cooties? You got the cooties now. Oh, come on. We used to run from each other. Oh, you got the cooties. And so the Pharisees said, he must have leprosy now. And they thought that he was going to touch everyone and pass it on. Look at Leviticus 13. But when the raw flesh appears on him, he shall be what? Unclean. And the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Wow. And this man that fell at Jesus' feet had raw flesh. He was probably dripping with pus and gush that was coming out of his sores. And just imagine all the people that were around. They were astonished. They marveled. And then the religious folks. How could this be? Look what I found in Numbers. Numbers 5, 1 through 4. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. Discharge meaning pus coming out of their sores. Wow. Look at this. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp. They may not defile their camps in the midst in which I dwell. And the children of Israel did so and put them outside the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses. So the children of Israel did. But that one man left that camp and he ran to Jesus. Can I get an amen? Because what it did, it shows Jesus' compassion and his authority over the law. See, the law said to do this. But guess what Jesus did? He stepped over the law. He stepped right over it. And then he goes, I'm going to show you grace and mercy. Did you know he stepped over the law? Did you know that we were condemned? We should have gone to hell? Did you know our sin? Our sin is what takes us to hell? And Jesus stepped over it. No different than he stepped over this. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Thank you, God. And with the words, I want to be healed, the leprosy immediately disappeared. You know, that's how simple deliverance and healing should be. When you go pray for someone, just believe God for them and ask them to believe God for themselves. And it should be that simple. No, but we want to lay hands. Oh, yeah. Just reading the whole Old Testament over. It's not all that. It's be healed in Jesus' name. The power of God. That's right. And a lot of times, all you have to do is speak the word. How many believe that Jesus not only just laid hands, but he spoke the word, and it became so? He just spoke it. When's the last time, hallelujah, that you spoke the word at home, praying for someone, maybe two cities away, and then God touches them right away? has ever happened? Because it still does today. I hope you know that. I got proof on this. I got proof on Jesus speaking the word. Look at this. I found this in Matthew 8. Look at this. Matthew 8, 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. A Roman soldier. That's who a centurion is. Pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. I'll come and heal him. Now, look how this centurion responds. And it blew Jesus away. Here's the God of all gods, the King of all kings. But what he says about this centurion, it should be said of us no differently. Let's look what he said. Look at verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man of authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he what? He does it, huh? Look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. God marveling over you? Jesus marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This was a Gentile, Roman soldier. He was like one of us, a Gentile. And he didn't find this kind of faith amongst his own people. Look at this. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons, look at, woo! God gave me a revelation of this. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out in outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who are the sons of the kingdom? It's not us. No, the sons of the kingdom are the Jews that refuse to believe. That's why Jesus says, okay, I'm going to come to the Gentiles. Look at that, because it says, you got to catch this. Verse 11, and I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons, notice small s, these are the Israelis, the Hebrew people, that refuse to believe that Jesus was the Christ. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out of outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. Look at verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Come on, give God a shout. He was what? Healed that same hour. It doesn't take all that. Can I get an amen? It takes faith to speak the word. It's God's word. It's not ours. Speak it. Pray for someone that really needs to be delivered. And say, oh God, we send your word to heal them, oh God. And believe God for it, amen? This centurion believed. All Jesus had to do was just speak the word. And Jesus said, I have not found any greater faith than this. Wow. To speak like that over a Gentile? Woo! Let's go to verse 42 of Mark chapter 1. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left and he was cleansed. Saints, we're not told the stage of this man's leprosy. may have already lost portions of his body to the disease. We don't know. But when Jesus spoke the man's health, it was restored completely. So just imagine if his ears were already gone. Let's just say if there was fingers already withered away and gone. Things on his body that were gone. The Bible says he was restored fully. See, when Jesus delivers, he delivers you wholly. Can I get amen? Amen? When he saved us, he left nothing undone. Can I get amen? Amen. How many so blessed know that you're saved, sanctified, yep. Holy Ghost filled, yes. Water baptized in Jesus' name? Whoo, thank you, God. Thank you, God. The man's becoming healed meant that he had his life back. And guess what? He was able to return to his community. Why? Because all those lesions were gone. The sores, the canker worms, all that stuff that was on him was gone. And he was allowed to go back to his community. Wow. Listen. When we opened up in Mark, even John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, when he was apprehended, he wanted to so make sure that Jesus was the Christ. There comes a time in your life, in my life, where sometimes it's not that we don't believe, but I call it hoping on hope. Hoping on the hope of God. Because John the Baptist, when he was apprehended, why was he apprehended? Because he spoke nothing but the truth. He had to tell Herod the truth. That you're sleeping with your brother's wife. That all of you are all up in sin. And so that got him mad. So they apprehended him. So look where I picked this up here in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 2 through 6. Look at this. And when John, this is John the Baptist, had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and he said to him, "Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" You see, he had to know. He had to know, is Jesus, my cousin, really the one? Saints of God, you got to know that Jesus is the one. Can I get amen? Amen. There's no other that's going to come after him. There's no other before him. It's him. He's going to sustain you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to heal you. He will provide for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. He'll restore you. You have to be dogmatic in the day that we live in. Because we live in a life that wants to turn your heart away from him. We find it in the entertainment world. We find it in the politics. We find it everywhere. We find it in social media. We find it in social gatherings. We find it amongst friends and family that don't know him, that don't love him like we do. And they'll try to flip your heart. They'll try to make you doubt. Look at this. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." What did they hear and see? The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended of me. Wow. Thank you, God. This is why, saints of God, we cannot worry about who we offend when we preach the gospel. Can I get amen? Amen? Speak it with love and truth. Don't worry about how they look at you, how you think they're going to think about you. Bring the truth. Because their soul needs to be saved. And God is looking for us to deliver it. He raises up for such a time as this to bring the word, to let our light shine, that we will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to us Gentiles. We got three more verses to break down. So let's look at verse 43 and 44 of Mark chapter 1. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony for them. As a testimony for them. You see, saints, when a leper was cured, he or she had to go to the priest to be examined. He wanted them to go head to toe. You're good to go. They didn't find one blemish. They didn't find one scar. They didn't find anything. But Jesus said, go to the priest. Basically, that's your doctor. The leper was to give a thank offering to the temple. He says, go give unto God thanks. Jesus adhered to these laws by sending the man to the priest. Go. So there'd be no question that I healed you. There'll be no question. No question. Jesus wanted this man, saints, to give a story firsthand to the priest to prove that his leprosy was completely gone so that he could be restored to his family and back into the community. That would be proof of his healing. Jesus told the man, don't talk to anyone along the way. And so the question would be, why would Jesus not want this man to tell anything about? Wouldn't this have been great advertising for Jesus? Bringing more people to hear the message? But see, Jesus knew better. Did you know that Jesus knew better? Look at this in John 2:24. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. In other words, you tell all these folks they're going to come for a Barnabas Bailey three-ring circus. They're just coming to see a miracle. They're not going to believe that he's the Messiah. He knew their hearts. He specifically handpicked people that he would heal to glorify God, but he didn't want the whole show. Jesus didn't come to be a three-ring circus because he knew man. Man would try to market him. Let's see if we could get him on social media and get 1.7 million likes. Then they'll start sending us a check. Oh, come on. He didn't want that kind of exposure. Jesus doesn't roll like that. Jesus' mission was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. But if crowds descended on him to see miracles accomplished or to benefit from his power, they would not be coming with the heart attitude needed to hear the response of the gospel. They would come for all different reasons. Some of them would come for the wrong reasons. He didn't want a miracle worker sideshow. He wanted to be the savior of their souls. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look how he dealt with these folks in Matthew 26. Look at this. We're coming in for a close. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. This is after they illegally apprehended him at night. This was a monkey court. They broke their own law to apprehend Jesus that night. And Jesus kept silent. The high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And he's coming for us on the clouds of heaven. Can I get an amen? He's coming for you and I. Thank you, God. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. And so, what further need do we have of a witness? Witnesses. Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. Look at verse 66. What do you think? They answered and said, He is deserving of death. This is why he didn't want everyone to know. He didn't want to be in these people's hands, but this was the will of God. This had to be. Because then, what we're reading here, it was time now for him to go to the cross. Then they spat in his face and beat him. Another struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? Wow. Wow. So for 3.5 years, he stayed away from the mobs. They would come and then he would get away. He never stuck around at fellowship with them. He got away. Why? Because these folks that apprehended him were looking at every moment to get him. Accuse him falsely. And that's what religion does. Oh, that's right. You could go pray for someone in the hospital and God will miraculously heal them. And then somebody else from another church will say, He wasn't healed at my church. Religion. Religion. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. So, we move on now to verse 45. This is the last verse. This is going to close out the chapter of Mark chapter 1. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every quarter. Man, here comes the mob. Here comes the unruly mob. Some of them were legit. They came, they needed a healing. Some of them came for the sideshow. Some of them came to mock him. Some of them would come to disprove him. So the man disobeyed Jesus' strong warning that he said, don't do this. Perhaps the man thought he was helping Jesus' ministry. Perhaps he couldn't just help himself. In any case, the news got out. His disobedience to Jesus and Jesus' command, even if it had good motives to it, it hindered Jesus' work because the publicity Jesus received severely hampered his ministry, especially in the synagogues. That's where remember, when he came out of the wilderness, what was the first place he went to? In the synagogue. Because he wanted to go where the scribes and Pharisees were reading the Torah portions, where they were reading the law, where they were reading the 5 books of Moses. He wanted to come in there and do the miracles amongst them, proving that that was him whom they prophesied would come. Thank you, God. And so Jesus, he had planned to go into town throughout Galilee and preach the synagogues. And I find this last scripture here. I found it in Luke. Look at this. In Luke 4:42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place and the crowds were looking for him. They came to him and tried to keep him from leaving. But Jesus told them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, because that is why I was sent. And he continued to preach in the synagogues of Judea. So his notoriety of a healer went around the whole region. And so as we are just scratching the book of Mark, we just touch on a few of the things that he did. We're going to look at other miracles as we continue, Mark, in raising the dead, healing the blind, healing the lame, feeding the thousands. He fed 5,000 on a hill. He said he fed 5,000 men. What about the women and children? It had to be double. It had to be even triple. So this is why Jesus had to stay in secluded places. But we had to look at that specific disease because it was the disease of that day. It was the cancer of that day. It was the COVID-19 of that day. And Jesus, bam, delivered the people. How many so blessed to know that? Huh? How many so blessed to know that all he had to do was speak the word? All he did was speak the word. And they were delivered and healed. My friends, those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because salvation is a miracle. Salvation is where he'll take your dead spirit and make it come alive unto God and give you a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. He'll put the desire in your heart for the things of God, and they come all by themselves. It comes automatically. You don't have to be pushed and prodded. You'll want to do the things of God. You'll fall in love with the Savior. You'll love all that he's done for you and your family and those that you know that he has touched the lives of many. And so if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can receive something even greater than that leper received. That leper just received restoration for his body. Jesus wants to heal your mind, body, and soul right now as we speak, that you would be birthed into the kingdom of God by faith. If that's you, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.